I don't know if you've looked around, but flowers are blooming. And in fact, my husband, Sam, who is a much more talented gardener than I am, and I'll give you a couple of stories that'll show you exactly why I am not the most talented gardener around. But he took some cuttings from this fire bush that we have, and he's so excited. Literally, it's like a tree is in our dining room because he took such a huge... I think you're supposed to take smaller cuttings, honey. These are massive. Anyway, they're growing roots like crazy. He's so excited. He's like, oh my God, the root structure doubled. So pretty soon those are going in our backyard. But anyway, we thought since it's spring and everything is starting to bloom quite a bit early, that we would have the Lawn Ranger join us. Bob Bertog is president of Bertog Landscaping Company. Hey, Bob, welcome back to WGN.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
So this is a really good time. I see people out there. They're starting to take a look around, and there's white patches on the grass. There's things that never got cut down from the end of last year. You know, the hydrangeas need some cleaning up. Where do you suggest people start? Let's start with lawns, because I don't know, maybe it's climate change, but my lawn looks a little patchy.
Well, a lot of the lawns this year suffered from what's called snow mold. There's white snow mold and pink snow mold. And because we had such a prolonged period of snow in February, it was prime conditions for that mold, the mold spores to just keep multiplying.
Okay, I've never heard of that. Pink mold, pink snow mold makes me think of, I don't know, thing one and thing two. Do we need thing one and thing two to clean up pink snow mold, or is there another better way?
The pink snow mold is actually a little more destructive than the gray. The gray typically just affects the leaf blade of the grass, and that'll typically push out, or you can rake it up. And as the grass grows up with a good fertilizer, that'll push the disease out. Where the pathogen with the pink snow mold actually can attack the crown of the plant. And if that's the case, you may be doing some top dressing and seeding. You rake up the damaged area, and then you just do some top dressing and seeding. And the spores are still going to be there next year. There's no really preventative measure or a fungicide that you should use. You can take some precautionaries in the fall. Make sure you rake up all your leaves, cut your lawn shorter. And it really makes it harder for the spores to thrive.
That's kind of interesting. I noticed at the end of last year, it was so dry at the end of the summer. I mean, we had beautiful weather, right? If you enjoy hot, sunny, beautiful summer weather like I do.
Right.
But I noticed my lawn literally was going dried out and really dry. And it looked like we'd killed large patches of it. Did you see that as a problem as well?
No, when it gets that late in the season, the lawn actually goes dormant, so it will brown out. And sometimes that can be mistaken for, disease patches and stuff. But you're just better, at that time of the year, let Mother Nature take its course and let the lawn go into dormancy. As long as you've put down a good fertilizer that's going to last through the winter, and so the roots take it up in the spring. As the snow melts, obviously that's providing the moisture to break down the fertilizer and get the growth of the plants. But this year we have seen a lot of mold as the snow all melted off.
Yeah, it's really problematic. Does it help to use the spikes and aerate your lawn?
The best thing you can do for your lawn is core aerate. And a lot of people think that the dethatching is the best thing, but it really isn't. It actually exposes the crown of the grass plant and can do more harm than good, especially if we run into a heat wave right after they do it. It exposes that plant to excessive sunlight and heat, which isn't healthy. But if you core aerate in the fall, it's the best thing you can do. Your roots will thank you. You're giving them a lot of room to expand and to store the carbohydrates for the winter.
All right. And so is now a good time to actually put down the seed? Because I know that we ordered some seed, and Sam was out there spreading it around, and then he set up the sprinklers, although we've had rain for the last 3 days. But he set up sprinklers so they would get a regular dousing of it. Is that the best thing to do? Is there something else we should be doing?
The timing for the seeding, the spring is actually the second best time. The best time to seed is in the fall. But if you can't do it in the fall, or if you have heavy tree cover and the leaves are, you have to do your leaf cleanup, then do it in the spring. The most important thing to do in the spring is remember, if you're on a fertilizer program, to make sure you don't have a pre-emergent crabgrass control as part of the fertilizer, because then that'll keep your blue grasses and your good seed from germinating as well.
So that's interesting, because I keep hearing that a pre-emergent would be helpful. And by the way, I've got these lovely little tiny yellow flowers that are now all over my flower beds. attached to this thing that I thought was a plant, but I think now is just a weed. What is that? What is that, and why is it growing?
It's probably yellow buttercup. That's one of the early season spring flowering weeds. A lot of people mistake it for dandelions, and from a distance, it does look like dandelions. But
they're short. They're against the ground. They're not tall like dandelions.
Right. They creep. It's like a creeping weed, and it's a buttercup. But you need to either manually pull them out or put down a herbicide for that, too. It's a spring annual, and they die back, too, when it heats up.
Huh.
Well, but they're mostly prevalent now in the spring.
They're beautiful, but it's all over the place, and it's choking out, I think, some of the other stuff that's trying to come up.
Well, just remember, in some countries, a dandelion is a delicacy, so it's not a weed everywhere.
No, that's very true. But unfortunately, in my garden, I don't actually have dandelion as much of an issue in my garden. These buttercups, is that what you called it?
Yes.
So it's crazy. The other thing I'm seeing out as I'm wandering around are more wasp's nests. Am I imagining that, or are there these massive wasp's nests all over the place?
Up in the trees or in the ground?
On the trees, I've seen them on top of stop signs. I've seen them on lamps.
I have not heard any stories about that, excessive populations of them. So maybe you're just catching them at the right time. I've in any of the trade magazines I've seen, I've not heard about an overpopulation. But I do know that some of those, they're all different kinds, and I'm not a bug guy by any means. But some of those can be nasty if you poke that nest a little too much.
All right, I have to tell a funny story here about, so one day we have this a nice long garden, and at the back of it, my husband Sam put up a sort of a Rubbermaid, you know, storage unit. An outbuilding, as our village likes to call it, which is a Rubbermaid storage unit. So anyway, he put our wheelbarrow in there and some other stuff. So he said to me at the beginning of one of the spring seasons, he's like, can you go get the wheelbarrow out so that I can spread out what, I don't know, maybe we were moving rocks around or something. I think maybe mulch. Can't remember. Anyway, so I go hiking all the way back to the end of the garden, and it's, you know, kind of closed in from the winter, and I have to really like bump up, you know, I've got the shovel with me. So I'm like trying to hit the thing to get it up and open, you know, you can just imagine, right? And I fling open the door. I get it up and I fling open the door, and there is a massive wasp's nest. And boy, are they angry that I have been pounding on the door to try it. And I realize they start coming after me, and I yell to Sam, who's all the way at the house, right? I mean, it's a good 100 plus feet, maybe 150 at this point. And I'm like, open the door. I take off for the house with these wasps in pursuit, and he opens the door. I slam the door. I had three or four wasp stings, but yeah, that was fun.
That can be nasty. A lot of the nests that are in the ground too, you hit them with a shovel or something, and they'll come out with a vengeance. And you know, if you're allergic to them, that could be a big problem.
Yeah, thankfully that I am not allergic to it, but it just goes for, you know, I say to people all the time that I do not have a green thumb. Like, I just, you know, I try so hard, and I really like, I'm very good at harvesting fruits and vegetables. So we have, you know, we plant all kinds of baskets with different kinds of fruit and vegetables in it. I'm always trying new things. Like last year, we had a bumper crop of baby eggplants, which are so easy and fun to grow. Even I can grow them, right? Actually, Sam is the one who's the genius gardener in our house. But I am good at, like, collecting them and cooking with them. That's my share of the work. But, it's too crazy, actually.
Well, they've come a long way with the synthetic plants, too, that look so real you can't tell the difference. So you might want to go that route, too.
Fake plants?
Yeah, for, like, in the pots on your porch or something. They've come a long way.
Yeah, that's actually
look very real.
What are you recommending to your clients for the different kinds of vegetables that they should be planting this year?
You know, vegetable gardens are so personal. I argue with my wife about that every year when we decide what we're planting. So it's kind of what you want to plant. I just recommend you read the directions, full sun, shade. A lot of people have moved to container planting, so too, for herbs and some of the vines, you can put a trellis in the container. And it, again, you're not bending over as much, or even we're doing raised gardens now. We're building a lot of raised gardens for clients, especially because people when COVID first started, they were afraid to even go to the store to buy vegetables. So people started growing their own stuff. And again, I can't put a favorite flavor on anything. Some people might not, they don't like tomatoes, and so they don't plant them.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Nancy's on the line. She's got a question for you about voles. Nancy, welcome to WGN.
Yes, good afternoon. I was wondering if you could help me. I have voles. I've researched them, V-O-L-E-S, not moles, in a garden there, and I had tulips that have come up for the last, I would say 3 or 4 years. This year, no tulips. We had the problems with these. My husband actually put traps there and tried to catch them, but nothing seems to work.
The voles are, there are some repellents you can buy at, Menards or Home Depot. But voles generally in the summertime aren't as much of a problem. Now, they probably ate the bulbs in the winter as they burrowed into the ground and they found them and they ate them. But usually in the summer, they're not as much of a problem between the hawks, the owls, and the black crows. That's their predator, and they will pretty much take those out of the equation. But the other thing with tulips, you might not have had them this year, but if you get 2 to 3 years out of a tulip bulb, you're doing good. We tell our clients to treat tulips like an annual flower where you plant them every fall.
Ah, that's good to know. I didn't actually think about that. What about daffodils? Because those seem to come up year after year.
Daffodils that's a whole different breed. They actually are planted deeper than the tulips, so therefore the moisture that you would have in the annual flowers would be at the top of the bed. The daffodil bulbs stay safer down lower, and they do come back a lot stronger every year rather than the tulips. If you get 50% the following year out of a tulip bed, you're doing well.
Well, that explains why tulips aren't coming up. Nancy, does that help you answer your question?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you for joining us. Bob, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, maybe you'll take a few more questions and comments from our audience.
Sure.
All right. 312-981-7200. If you have gardening questions, text or call 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN. We have Bob Bertog here with us. He's president of Bertog Landscaping Company, affectionately called the Lawn Ranger by his team, giving us all different kinds of advice. Bob, we've got a couple of texts coming in, and feel free to text and call 312-981-7200. From 309, when can I plant a lavender plant in Zone 5? Love lavender.
A lot of your planting, you got to see when they're available, but typically in the Chicago area, March 5th or May 15th, not March, is your typical day where you're going to be safe with planting flowers and not have to worry about a frost or a freeze.
We always plant in our house on Mother's Day. That seems to be close enough, right?
Close enough, yeah.
Okay.
There's actually some people that follow when the full moon is in May as well, but just call it May 15th and be safe.
Fair enough. From 708, I planted some Virginia creeper seeds in October last year. They haven't come up yet. Vodka seeds online. Don't know if they're duds. When do they usually sprout in this climate zone? How long should I wait before I consider them dead seeds and plant something else?
I'd say when you get a couple of days, solid days, or a week of temperatures in the 60s and 70s, you'll know. And if you don't see any germination, then they're duds.
Well, we've kind of had that already, haven't we?
Yeah, but you need to prolong the period so it heats up the soil temperatures. It's not just the air temperatures. We did have that heat, we had those 80-degree days for 2 days maybe, and then the 70s. But the soil still didn't get warm enough. You need a daytime temperature consistently in the 70s, and then that'll heat up the soil, which will create the germination of the seeds.
Got it. So it's really about how cold the soil is.
Exactly.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Nancy is on the phone. Nancy, what's your question for Bob?
My question is I have Creeping Charlie, or also known as Creeping Jenny. They have purplish violet flowers, and it can choke out your plants or your grass. It's coming alive very abundantly in my new sown grass that I did last fall. Plus, I now have it in my landscaping. I live in central Illinois, and I'm a farmer, so I'm out in the country.
Creeping Charlie is one of the most aggressive and most hard to control weeds that can be in your lawn and in your gardens. In the gardens, you can mechanically pull it out, but it does creep underground on rhizomes, so it's going to, you have to make sure you get the whole plant. And for the lawn, there are selective herbicides that will knock it out of the lawn, but you're going to need several applications, and the best time to spray it is when those purple flowers are in bloom. If you miss that window, it's even harder to control. But you want to get the herbicide on it as it's flowering, because the plant is the most active at that time, and it'll take up the herbicide.
All right. Thank you very much, Nancy. I hope that helps. 312-981-7200. I have a large blue spruce that's dying. I've been having it sprayed for a couple of years. Will it survive, or should we cut it down? I have the exact same question. We have a blue spruce in our front yard. Same thing. We spent a lot of money trying to save it. What's going on with that?
Without seeing it and seeing exactly what's going on, my best guess would be it's got needle cast, which is a fungus. And if you've been treating it and it's still getting worse, the tree is in decline and probably won't make it. So I would say don't throw good money after bad.
Okay. So you have to make that decision.
Right. And then the other thing to remember, though, with the spruce, is if those needles are on the ground, the spores from the needle cast will stay in the ground. So you might want to think about putting in a different variety of tree.
Ah, that's a good point. Hadn't thought about it that way. From 708, I planted some Virginia creeper seeds in October. I read that one for you. Sorry about
that one. Yeah, we're
not going to do that. How about this one? I bought my house in 73, and the tulips that came up with the house have bloomed every year. Never heard of that before. Never heard that they only last three or so years. Mine have just started blooming again. They're tall red and yellow mixture. Is that a special blend, do you think? Or do you think that person just got lucky?
Could be, just got lucky. But the thing that most people do where they plant their tulips, they usually also plant summer annuals there. If you have a tulip bed that is undisturbed all year, it's possible that they could keep coming back. But most people, they pick a bed, and in the spring they do the tulips, and then they plant the impatiens, and then in the fall they put the mums. Where there's a lot of busy stuff going on in the planting bed, it's usually the watering in the summertime that rots out the tulip bulbs. So if you have a bed where you have tulips and it's undisturbed or it's not watered a lot, there's a chance that those bulbs could survive.
From 815, do you need to prune your lilac bushes before or after they bloom?
After.
So is pruning, would it be considered enough pruning if when they flower, you cut them off and take the flowers and put them inside?
You could do that, but you want to cut off it depends how big you want the plant to get, but you do your maintenance pruning, and then every three to five years you want to do a dormant pruning, which you'll take out the oldest, thickest canes and bring the plant back down to its, more proportionate size. The only problem when you do dormant pruning is you give up flowering for one season, but it keeps your landscape in proportion. Otherwise, they're going to get unruly and then get woody, and you're better off just sacrificing the flowers once every 3 or 4 years.
That's a great point. How do you get rid of wild garlic? My lawn and gardens are full of it, from 773.
If somebody could tell me that, I'd take the advice. That's another tough one. That's like Creeping Charlie. And it's sometimes even glyphosate or Roundup doesn't even do the trick. There are some herbicides that are specifically labeled for that, for garlic, but I'm not sure if they're available only to commercial companies like us or if you can get that at a garden center. You just have to read the label.
All right, that's a good point. From 847, I plan to overseed and then install a crabgrass preventer. How long do I have to wait after I overseed?
Well, if you don't put down the crabgrass preventer now, those seeds are going to already be in the ground and they're going to germinate. So it's a catch-22. The pre-emergent should go down first. And if you're going to seed this year, I would recommend not using a pre-emergent crabgrass. They've come out with some very effective post-emergent crabgrass sprays, herbicides, where in the past they had them, but they're extremely expensive. So now they've gotten retail-grade market herbicides that are selective for crabgrass. So I would say do your seeding, and then come July, late June, early July, when you start to see the lime green crabgrass come up, just go ahead and hit that with the selective. Make sure you get selective, because a lot of people I see spray Roundup or similar products on their crabgrass, and then it kills the good grass too.
Mm.
Read the label.
Read the label. Okay. From 847, is it too early to plant a bush bean?
I don't know what a bush
beans.
Bean?
Bush beans?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Vegetable question. All right. 773, is it bad to trim silver maples this time of year?
No. It's the only trees that are that have certain times to be trimmed are like elms and oaks. Those have to be done in November because they're too susceptible to diseases. But maples are pretty hardy. You can prune them. You might see a little sap coming out at the wound. That's normal. The tree's just healing itself.
Okay. And from 309, I have a 10 by 10 bare spot under my maple tree. What's the best way to get grass in there?
That's going to be a challenge because the roots of a maple tree grow, they're high to the surface, and they're going to win the war for the nutrients. Plus, it's probably a shaded area if it's under a maple. What we suggest doing is you can bring out the bed line and put mulch in there, or you could put in a ground cover like purple leaf winter creeper does well in the shade, and just convert it from a grassy area to a ground cover area.
Got it. And then we've got a question online. Joe, we just have a minute left. What's your quick question for Bob?
I have a real quick question. You were talking about the creeping Charlie being a root vine. I have trumpet vine growing through my flower gardens. It's not the orange. It's white. It's really fine. It seems to be growing underground and, spreading with roots. What's the best way to get rid of it? I've tried Roundup on the shoots and that stuff, and no matter what I pull or what I do, it seems to come back.
So it's funny because actually there are some people that plant trumpet vine as a decorative plant, but if you keep chopping at it as it's flowering, when it's forcing its most energy when a plant is flowering. So if you chop it at the roots and keep chopping, eventually it's going to give up. But you have to be persistent at it. And when you see it coming, but it's going to require some work, and then keep hitting it with the Roundup, and if it fights back through that, chop it again and spray the Roundup. The leaves should die back from the Roundup, and then go ahead and start chopping at it mechanically.
Well, Bob, we have so many more questions that I think we're just going to have Pete Zimmerman get you back here to talk to Anna, because there's just questions about chives and garlic mustards and wild violet and, planting primroses and all sorts of things. So we see all of your texts. Thank you so much for them. Bob, I really appreciate your time today. It's been so helpful for so many people.
Well, you're welcome, Elise. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bob Bertog is president of Bertog Landscaping Company, and you can find them online.